We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. A little breezy out there today, 68 degrees, south-southwest winds, 21 miles an hour, gusting up to 28. We are under a fire weather warning until 7 o'clock tonight. So think about what you're doing out there. Check your chains and your trailer. Don't be going out there practicing with your baler with a bad bearing in it or something anyway. But we're going to have a good day today. As soon as I do the market reports, I have Justin and Cody in here from John Deere at Clinton and from Western Equipment. So anyways, we're going to talk about their mechanic program. We're going to talk about some maintenance we can be doing right now that you're not thinking about. So anyway, but right now, let's see what the live markets are doing before we get into. Come on, there we go. All right. Well, crude oil is going down, which is good. It's below West Texas is around $96 a barrel, which is good for us at the fuel pump. Looks like live cattle is down. April 139.70, June 135.72, August 136.80, October's 144.12. Feeder cattle are up though, 157.25 for March, 162.92 for April. Lean hogs are up slightly, 102.45 for April, May 111, June 120.75. Cotton's down slightly, but it's still hanging in there good, almost $1.19 a pound. Let's go to some cash prices real quick. There we go. Everything's down today. Man, on the cash this morning, it was 10.46 or 10.56, and right now, hard red winter wheat in Oklahoma is $9.97, down 76. Corn 7.10, down 23. Milo is 6.88, down 23. And soybeans is $15.64 for cash prices in Oklahoma. Wheat futures fell in overnight trading as the yo-yo in prices continue. Spectators who were long on the market sold contracts and closed positions. After another run up in wheat prices yesterday. They didn't put after in there, but I did. Chicago wheat yesterday jumped 58 cents or 5.6%, was the biggest single day percentage increase in almost 2 weeks. Prices are lower overnight despite a plan by Russia to halt exports to former Soviet countries, which likely will mean importers in the bloc will sink supplies elsewhere. Futures also were down even after APK Inform said Ukraine will likely plant 39% fewer acres to the ongoing Russian attacks in the country. Soybeans, meanwhile, were higher in overnight trading. The National Oilseed Processors Association said its members crushed 165.5 million bushels of soybeans in February. That's down from 182 million bushels a month ago. Soybean oil supplies reached the highest level in 22 months, according to them. Wheat for May delivery dropped 31.75 cents to $11.22.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures plunged 30.5 cents to $11.27.5 a bushel. Corn futures for May delivery fell 9.75 cents to $7.49.25 a bushel. Soybean futures for delivery jumped 12.75 cents to $16.71.5 a bushel. Soy meal was also up $2.70 to $486.70 a short ton. And soybean oil futures gained 0.9 cents to 74.58 cents a pound. Well, anyway, we got extremely dry weather is expected in central and western Oklahoma and southern Kansas today, according to the National Weather Service. Winds in central Oklahoma are forecast from 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 35 miles an hour, according to the National Weather Service this morning. Temperature will top out in the 80s. In south central Kansas, gusts are forecast as high as 40 miles an hour, and the humidity is projected to be as low as 20% in our listening area today. So, guys, like I said, harp on it. Be careful out there. When I come back, we'll get with Justin and Cody. We'll talk tractors, maintenance, equipment, programs, all kinds of good stuff. So it's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before, and your gears change, and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Their genetics work. They've got proof. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale is Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. Selling 100 18-month-old Red Angus Bulls, 30 registered bred fall calving heifers, and 15 registered open heifers. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 p.m. B&L values low inputs with high efficiency, added pounds through genetic merit, and honest females that make it happen year after year. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale, Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. For catalog and videos, log on to blredangus.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I just warned them when the red buttons are on their live, so don't be picking their nose on their Facebook. We are streaming live on Facebook. We are streaming live on KECOFM.com, and we're also live on the Paragon app on your phone. But you can see us on the website. You can see us on Facebook. So if you want to see three beautiful guys talking all at once, turn it on, because we're here anyway. But I got on the show with me from Western Equipment, Justin Shinnywolf. I get that right?
Yeah, got her that time.
Yeah, I got her right that time. And Coley Pollard. Anyway, I got that right. I almost said Pollard, but Pollard. Anyway, Justin is customer service rep, and he does a really good job because I see him out here in our area all the time. And everybody knows him by first name. He's either over there at the Dameron's by my house or down south on the Ripitoes, maybe. And then where else? You go to Eric, too, don't you?
Yes, sir.
That's where, yeah. And then Cody's a tractor technician at Western at Clinton, correct?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Well, welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you.
It only took me 7 months to get you over here. So anyway, we got him over here, and we want to – we're going to talk about a bunch of things today, but first of all, if you guys remembered during FFA week, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had a group in here from Kelton, Texas, and there was two or three kids on that in that bunch there that are officers there, that they're doing mechanic competitions, tractors and welding and all kinds of stuff. And got to talking to Cody because he's went through Western Equipment's program. And what do they call that program?
The John Deere Tech Program.
Tech Program. And anyway, but it was interesting to find out how he wanted to get into that tech program. Can you tell us the story?
Yeah, so in high school, we restored a lot of older tractors and did the tractor restoration thing and went to nationals with that. And we also got into the ag tractor mechanics competition that's in there in Texas as well.
Right.
And so our senior year, which would have been 2011, we won state in the...
Where was you going to school at?
Decatur,
Texas. Yep.
Yep. And so we won state that year, and that's how we got introduced to a whole bunch of all the big wigs and, you know, Case New Holland, John Deere, and we got to talking with Dolly, which is one of the professors down there at the Corsicana campus, and he gave us a list of different John Deere dealers to go to and ask about their sponsorship program. And so we gave Western Equipment a call, and we had a few meetings with them, and it was basically all history from there.
History. And how long you been with them?
Including school would be about 12 years.
Wow. So how long was the school?
2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
You tell us what you did during that school time. Was it studying?
Yeah.
Some studies. I like that smirk. So I'm gonna call BS on that.
No, we learned quite a bit. I mean, they start you off pretty well basic. No matter what your background is, they'll start you off on the basics, and it goes from there. I mean, I learned quite a bit even from having a background. I learned more than what I knew.
Knew, right? Yeah. So that's pretty cool that some of these schools, especially a lot in Texas, how deep they are into that tractor mechanics deal. And I guess who was teaching you at school? Was it your ag teacher?
Mm-hmm. So, yep, it was Rick Elmore was our ag teacher.
So I mean, he must have been pretty good because you guys won state. I mean, not every ag. I mean, a lot of ag teachers know a little bit about everything.
Yeah.
But to know as much as you guys did in one state, because that's what they're trying to do at Kelton is one.
Yeah, he had been there a time or two before, and we actually had the first, second, and third place individual in the competition.
What'd you get?
Second.
Hey, you know what they say, old Ricky Bobby says.
I'm going to catch flack for it, too, for my service manager that's at the shop, because he was first.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what Ricky Bobby says, if you ain't first, you're last. So, anyway, so that was a great program. So, where did you do your program at one place, or did you move around a little bit?
As far as the college
John
program?
Deere, yeah.
It was all right there in Corsicana. Is where we did all of our stuff. And of course on the breaks, like on our summer breaks or winter breaks, we had the option. Mainly the summer breaks were actually a whole nother semester because we had to come up and work
right
for Western.
I got you.
But like winter breaks was a whether or not you could or not, if you want to see family during winter break or whatever. But it was all right there in Corsicana is where we did the whole program. And then of course during the summer was another grade, a whole nother
grade. Is that
when
you did like some internship?
Yeah, that was the internship, basically.
Yeah, I got you. And did you did your internship at Western, correct?
Yep, at Clinton. Yep.
So how does that program exactly work? If we got some people out there listening and want to get involved in that program, how does it work? You sign up for it and apply for it, I guess, just like you're getting a job? And
I believe if you go to our website, there's a place where you can go and apply online through us,
right?
And then
through Western.
Uh-huh. And if I'm not mistaken, it's been a long time since I went through
it's only been 12 years. Come
I believe
on.
You have to get the sponsor and then apply for the program at college. I believe pretty sure Boone, James Boone, is the one who takes care of it from
right
there.
He does
gets you enrolled and everything,
so
it's fairly easy.
If you had it to do all over again, would you do it again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's get an answer on radio with the bosses listening.
This is all. It's all I've ever done since I was in high school. So, right. I mean, that's what I'm used to. It's what I like doing. So.
So and how'd you end up at Clinton? Have you been in Clinton the whole time?
Uh-huh.
How'd you?
That's just where they put us.
Right.
We called, and of course the downtown office is our main office.
Right.
And that's where we had our interviews at, and Clinton had the. Had a couple vacancies or whatever, and so that's just where we ended up.
Right.
As
so,
far as that goes.
So being so were you sponsored by Western, I guess? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Basically you're going to work for them because they sponsored you.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we signed a contract, and that's the main deal was their, I guess, the perks for the sponsorship.
Right.
For completing the
program. I wouldn't sponsor nobody unless they was coming to work for me.
But the perks that they give the kids as far as after you get out of school and if you commit to the contract, they're
pretty good.
They're good.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so how long have you been at John Deere, Justin?
13 years as an adult, and I worked there when I was a teenager and through high school and stuff
right.
as well. Yes, sir.
Yes. So how's things changed as far as technology from when you started?
Oh, gosh. Yes, a lot. I mean, back when I was a kid, there was hardly any no-till or anything. We used to sell pickup load after pickup load of sweeps. And,
right.
and now, you know, most people are on no-till, and we don't sell nearly as many sweeps. And, and guidance come along. I mean, it's went from the light bar all the way up to the newer 2630 displays. What's the newest model display now?
4600.
I
still have the light bar deal.
Yeah. it works. It's
no, it does.
Yeah, it's better than the marker. So
when I go help all those people that I go help on peanut harvest or when we're thrashing peanuts or something else, and that big screen in there beeping, you're off track, and I ain't touched nothing yet, I'm just like, okay, I'll stay with my flashing bar. So, anyway, I mean, but precision farming, I mean, it costs money, but it saves you a lot of product.
It does. I mean, with the cost of seed and chemicals overlapping, it gets pretty costly. So,
right.
the less waste you have in that, I mean, obviously, the more profitable you are. And when you overseed, it doesn't come up as good as whenever it's, you know, putting it on proper.
It's my big drill that I have out there. You've seen it, that big 15 foot no-till.
Yeah.
That front tire head steel is fried on. I don't have to put on the GPS to figure out where I'm going. But anyway, and that 4960 tractor I got has a really tough time pulling that drill too. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I just set her back to about 1700 RPMs and go. I got a question for you. You're both sitting in here. So I'm trying to understand the new diesel technology compared to the old technology. So my 4960, for example, just to like a 4850 or 4040, you know, you put it in full throttle, your RPMs are 2000 or 2150, somewhere in that area at full throttle. But I was helping Chad. What, I don't even remember what I was doing. I was running the tractor or something, and oh, I was just bringing it home down the road. But the RPMs was you know, you set it, all them fancy stuff in there, and it's running at 1,200, 1,300 RPMs. What's that doing? Why are they doing it that way now?
It's actually the transmission setting in there. It's an economy mode, basically.
Right.
It's to save you fuel. It's to save on fuel.
But it's still running good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and then when you go up the hill, I see the RPMs kick in a little bit and come up. That's just crazy.
Is that filling cruise? Is that what they call that?
No, it's an automatic setting in the transmission settings, so it saves fuel when you don't need to be running, you know,
full blast,
you don't have to be,
right? Because I was looking for more gears.
It almost mimics a automatic transmission, so to speak,
right?
The way they run,
it sees the load you have on it,
yeah.
And it adjusts your RPM to what it needs for that.
I got you. It's just cool. I'm not used to it.
Safe fuel and wear and tear and
stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yep.
That, and then the front wheel assist stuff that they got nowadays compared to what, like, my tractor was. You know, I just reached down there and pushed the button for it to kick in. These, like, automatically kick in, it looks like, if you need it. I'm not sure. I was going down a blacktop. I really didn't need it.
Yeah.
But they...
They'll detect wheel slippage, yeah, and then they'll engage the front
right,
end.
Right, it'll engage automatically.
Yes, sir.
That's just cool stuff. Well, you guys don't go anywhere because we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about that program just a little bit more. And then we're going to come back and talk about what guys can be doing now, whether it's raining or not. We need to get... Hopefully it rains.
Yeah.
And some stuff we need to get ready, because hay season will be first, and then planting season, and then harvest season.
Yeah.
We're getting into the busy time of our year if we can just get a rain. So anyway, I'll be right back after this. I got Justin and Cody in here from Western Equipment over at Clinton. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March 11th. 482 head were sold. 2 head of steers at 355 brought 191. 5 at 360 brought 200. 9 at 453 brought 196. 13 at 492 brought 194.50. 8 at 577 brought 145. 8 head of heifers at 443 brought 172.50. 5 at 448 brought 173.50. 2 at 518 brought 146. 5 at 585 brought 151. 4 at 748 brought 132.50. Butcher cows were 63 to 102. Butcher bulls 100 to 120. Bred cows were 850 to 16. 10 pairs brought 850 to 1800. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, welcome back. Let's see what the temperature is real quick. 69. We're going to have to hurry to get up to 81 today, but that wind's getting up, so I'm sure we will. South winds 21 mile an hour, wind gusts 28. And we are under a fire weather warning. So anyway, and most everybody knows what that is. Well, joining me in the studio today has been Justin and Cody from Western Equipment over at Clinton. Western's got, what did I see now, 21 stores? Yeah.
Pretty sure it's 21.
Yeah, it's 21 stores all over, what, Texas and Oklahoma, anywhere else?
New Mexico.
I knew there was one more. I didn't want to guess that. I was going to say Kansas, and I had to guess wrong. Anyway, we got a question for you guys already. Now your bosses are sitting over there cringing. They're going to answer a question off the text line. So it's actually two questions. What age range, if any, are they looking for? And the other question is, would they recommend the tech program for the veterans leaving the armed services?
I would highly recommend it.
Okay.
As far as the age limit goes, I don't see that being an issue.
Because it could start back where you at high school.
When I was in high school, there was guys that were, 30 years old going through the program that had dealer sponsoring them and everything. So as far as the John Deere Tech program goes, there is no
age.
There's no age limit. I mean, it's college just like
so
anything else.
So I'm 60.
Else.
You think they'll take me?
Come on.
I'll make a good tractor washer. Oh, I can, you know, with the help I've got from him the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years, yeah. I can work on a 569 baler.
Well, that's all I can do, so.
No, I've seen you work on a swather too.
Yeah.
Anyway, but anyway, well, let's get back to your program. I think it's awesome of Western Equipment to sponsor young men like you and look at you. It must be working. 12 years later, here you are. And so, I don't, you know, you're living in Clinton. Were you from Decatur, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Sir.
And, well, that's quite a culture change shock for you probably.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty nice. I like the kind of seclusion up here.
Right.
You know.
Because all you can see down there is oak trees.
It's trees and city.
Yeah. And the city's way closer to you now than it was when you was 12 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot closer.
Because I go through there to see my son. He lives in Salina. So,
oh, yeah.
Yep. And but there's so you like it up here.
Oh, yeah.
So where do you live in Clinton? Where you live?
Cordell.
Cordell?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah. So you're down there. They got liquor by the drink down there now, don't they?
Yeah.
So he didn't warn you about me. Anyway, but that's good. But John Deere, I remember first time I went to John Deere at Clinton, it was Lorenz Equipment.
Yeah.
That's been a long time ago.
It was Lorenz when I was a kid and started there.
Yeah, because your dad worked there.
Yes.
Worked there. Or still does.
Yep. He still does.
Yeah, he still does. And Richard, he'd been there a while when I first got there in the early 80s. So Richard's a good dude. And that's where I met Wes Campbell.
Yep.
And Andy, I never do try to say his last name because I always get it wrong.
I'm not going to either.
Yeah, I won't attempt it.
You think he's listening?
I don't know.
Well, let's try it. Lippman?
That's pretty close.
So, anyway, but no, that's where I met Andy and Wes and actually three people from John Deere that worked at Lorenz and I and the priest from over here at Elk City and a couple other guys. That's where we started that Clinton Lake Bow Club there behind Clinton Lake. So, anyway, that's my friendship with John Deere people goes way back. So anyway, and with your dad, but we got a busy season coming up on us, whether we know it or not. Hopefully, like I said, what we said earlier, it's going to rain, and we're going to have hay to swath. But with these grain prices as high as they are, a lot of people are probably thinking they might, you know, go to the harvest time. You know, so we got combines. We got swathers, we got balers, and then we got tractors. What, Justin, what's the things was on the balers? What's the thing guys be looking at right now? Pickup attachments, chains, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I mean, you want to obviously check your pickup attachment because it runs down there on the ground. You'll make sure you got teeth to pick hay up with. Kind of check your bearings and stuff down there on that.
Is there any tricks to checking those bearings on the pickup attachment?
On the cam?
Yeah.
There's an inspection hole on either side at the top, so you can take you like on a 569, it's an 1 3/8 socket, and you can rotate that around and just kind of poke your finger in that hole and feel that bearing. If it feels nice and smooth, and it's not wore too flat, you can kind of feel when they start to get wore down. And once they get wore down, they get slack in that cam, and if you pick up a stick or something, you can break that cam. So it's, you know, even if they're not out, if they feel significantly worn off, you may want to change out those cam bearings just to save you from breaking a cam,
because
that's a pain in there.
Well, and then you'll be down.
Yeah, and you're broke down.
And you're broke down.
So, and then
Justin doesn't answer his phone between midnight and 3 a.m.
I don't think that's true, but
I'm just throwing
I don't want
that
people
up
calling me then either, though.
So. There, that. See, it is true. But it's and then your chains, man, they're what, 4 or 5 chains?
Yeah, five chains on one. And your big ones you want to look at, like every year I like to put the starter roll chain, which is the number 60 chain on the left-hand side. It's a little short chain. Like to change that every year, especially on the if you have an older baler like a 567 or a 568, because that starter roll chain actually drives your pickup too, so it gets a lot of load on it. On the later chains, they moved your pickup drive to the bottom drive roll, so it took some load off that starter roll chain. Seems to last longer.
Right.
But then you want to check your two big chains over there too, and you know, if they get to running loose, those idler sprockets can hit, and it wears your sprockets and stuff out faster when you're running worn out chains. So right. It's a good idea to keep those up.
Yeah, those sprockets aren't cheap.
No, they're not.
No, there's nothing cheap right now.
No.
And so, what else? What else besides greasing it?
Oh, take a look at your belts. You want to put new belt lace pins in it every year, and then if you're putting a lot of hay up, you want to change those out every 1,000 bales. But you want to take a look at your belts, check for any frays or rips, you know, make sure you didn't run a deer antler through it last year or something like that. Make sure your laces aren't coming loose. Then in the same area with your belts, you can check your belt guides, which are up at the top on the front, see if they're grooved or wore through. If they're grooved, you can just kind of weld them back up, fill your groove in. If they're wore through, you need to replace them, obviously. See, probably want to check your bail shape bearings there on the back. Those two arms that run on your belts on the back of the baler, if those go out, you know, that arm will run against your belt and you can ruin a belt really fast that right. way. So you always want to take a look at those.
How about that skid plate?
Which skid
on the bottom?
Oh, on your net wrap pan.
Yeah.
Man. So, yeah, that'll get holes worn in it from the belts running on it where it pulls that wrap down, and then you'll have net wrap snagging on it, and you'll have your bales frayed out, and then you'll be having a bad time.
Yep.
Another deal on the net wrap system you always want to maintain really well is your net wrap brake and that drive belt that drives it.
Yep.
A lot of times a guy will call and, hey, I'm not getting any wrap put on, and what it is that belt's loose, and he's just not getting any tension on it to put the wrap on. And it's an easy fix, and it's something real easy to catch at the first of the year and save you a headache.
Well, that I have extra brake. I have a couple extra brake pads, and I have an extra belt in the house because what's the first 569 baler I had in, I had changed it out once, and I had not even 5,000 bales on it. And then I got my new 569, and I got 4,900 bales on it. And I haven't changed it yet, but I know it's coming.
Yep, it is.
It's yes, coming. Sir. I've been lucky. That's been a good baler, too. And then they, we had a, remember when I told you guys could pick your nose during break?
Yeah.
And I didn't go back to live feed. Somebody texted in, we want to see you guys. So I forgot to do it. I didn't remember. My wife listens. I can't say forgot. I got to use remember. But anyway, what about tractors, Cody? What's people need to be looking for right now on the tractors?
Man, I'd say big thing on, I mean, it might be, it's probably even most equipment is if you know you're going to use it next week, you might ought to get that equipment out beforehand,
right.
Run it, make sure that, you know, you're not going to have something just the hose blow, oil go everywhere, and then it's too late. And
driving
everybody
around
else
the section.
Everybody else is already, you know, using their stuff, and then, or we're already, you know, busy with, you know, people that have gone down, and yours goes down right when you're needing it, and then it's not a good deal.
No.
So, but I would say grease. Grease is a big thing.
Yeah.
On the tractors. Inspect what hydraulic hoses and stuff you can. Make sure they're not, like, bubbling out. Like fixing the...
Anything rubbing
the
on those hoses.
Yeah. Visible leaks. And service. There's not much on the electrical side that you can really be preventative about.
Right.
Check your lights.
Besides, lights or running, like I said, running it a week ahead of time and making sure everything
works. Yeah,
why
didn't they have the light system they got on these tractors now back when they made 4960s? Because, I mean, it's like them guys blind me when I'm bailing next to them. Like, hey, well, you guys, then they speed up and get on by me. But the light system that John Deere has now is crazy.
I think that a lot of guys were used to be a lot more full-time farmers. Nowadays, guys have to work a full-time job and farm, so a lot of it gets done in the evening.
Right.
And you got to have good lights if you want to get out and work at night.
Yeah, and they're on there. I mean, the first time I seen, who was it? I don't know if it was Dameron's or Chad over there across the road from our house. First time I seen him over there, I thought an alien spaceship had landed out there. And I mean, I'm not kidding you. I was like, what the heck is going on out there? And then drive over there, and, you know, they're over there bailing or whatever they're doing. But, man, those lights are crazy. Probably not cheap either.
Well, you can update your lights on your 4960 from and put LEDs on. It makes a big difference.
Well, I did update the ones that I bought that tractor from Brinkley, and he got it from somebody that you probably know who I'm talking about. I forgot his name. South of Cherokee Truck Stop, farms a lot of cotton right in there. You know who I'm talking about?
No,
I got that tractor from him, but he'd put extra lights, like out, looked like mirrors out there, and then extra ones on top of the fenders.
Yeah.
Well, I switched him out with some LEDs.
Yeah, the LEDs make a huge difference.
Yeah, I just got one pointed at my baler, and it's crazy. I mean, I can see a bearing back there loose if I need it to, but I haven't been that lucky. What about swathers?
Oh, it's kind of like the same as tractors. You know, it's sure a good idea to get it out and get it warmed up. Make sure you're not having any hydraulic leaks or no codes. Rodents like to get in and nest and stuff in the wintertime, so it's sure a good idea to get it out and just do that. Do your service, obviously, grease it. On the header, you know, check your drive belt. If you're running a rotary, you've got the converging drum belts to check. And then look at your knives, your turtles, accelerators, and all that. If they're wore down, the bottoms of your turtles will tend to wear out. If you're running do like a lot of hay grazer, or if you're in sandy conditions, it seems like they tend to wear out a little faster. Then they're not cleaning that cutter bar off and getting the hay moved to the middle, and so then you're going to get a poor cut whenever those turtles start to get wore. So
have you guys ever put a suspension off of these newer swathers onto like an older swather like mine, the 4850?
No.
So I could go faster?
No. So John Deere thought ahead on that, and the pin size is different on those.
Suckers.
But I'd imagine you could machine it out and maybe do that. It's more than just a suspension on those. They've got those steering cylinders back there that help your wheels from flopping around when you go down the road, so you can run. The new swathers will run 22 miles an hour, so that yours will run about 12.
13 going downhill.
Yeah.
And it gets squirrely. So they, last year, Roy brought his swather over into Joey's big field, and I was in there with mine. I swear he was making two rounds to my one, or no, my one through to two full rounds on his end. Just sitting over there just pissing me off.
Yeah. They'll move through the field. Some of those new ones, you can run guidance up to 16 miles an hour. And they'll cut that fast if you get into some good smooth hay where you can ride it. It'll buzz right along.
Well, not this cat, not with my antique equipment nowadays, but there. I got a text in. I'm not sure what they mean, so I want to. Are they cute little John Deere turtles? You talking about the guys in the studio? Because it's got to be a woman.
Oh, no, they're the turtles on the cutter bar.
The turtles.
Yeah,
are they cute?
They're disc, basically, just the name for them. Everybody calls them turtles.
Anyway, what about the older model swathers?
Pretty much the same thing. And if you're running a sickle machine, then you're going to be wanting to check, obviously.
Well, we got hot news. We got hot news.
Check your cutter bar on there. Pull your sickle out. Check that. Check your guards for wear, broken sickle teeth, those type of things. And then
make sure everything's spaced out right,
timed out
right.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Get your guards set.
And, you know, setting the time on those things is not hard. It's not that hard. You got to take a belt loose or what, but
yeah,
it's still, it's not that hard, and it cuts so much better when they are in time.
Yeah, and well, and you're not breaking sickle sections off either, right, and stuff too, so
yeah,
it does make a big difference. But yeah, on the sickle machines, you know, you're checking that sickle, check your reel, pick up teeth on your reel, and you know, they've got those five bearings around the outside that on your cam.
Yep.
You know, check that. Check your
reel. I changed them before. Pick me. Holy moly. Good thing for Dewey's bed on the back of the pickup. That works pretty good to pick that header up. You don't have to have a tractor or nothing. But, yeah, I've changed those. Matter of fact, 2 years ago. As a matter of fact, I think I called you for some advice.
Yeah, I recall that. Yeah.
And you did make my job easier because I was getting ready to get big pry bars and all kinds of stuff. Actually, if you just take that other bolt loose, it picks right up. anyway, but that's the way that goes. Well, we're about out of time, but who would they call at John Deere at Clinton to talk about if they want to get involved in that tech program?
I believe the contact would be James Boone.
Yep.
Downtown.
Yep. Or get online to check it out first.
Get online to check it out, yeah.
Is that under Western Equipment, I guess?
West-equip.com.
Okay, yep. There we go. Well, cool. Well, guys, anything else you want to tell anybody? Get ready. We won't talk. Maybe you guys will come back next month and we can talk combines.
Well, we got a combine guy we'll have to bring for that.
Yeah.
I really want to get Andy over here so I can say his last name and mess it up, and then he yells at me.
another thing we might mention, if you're not into servicing your own equipment, we do ready-to-runs up there. So this is kind of getting to the end of ready-to-run season, but you can still get your machines down there and have them serviced out before you get into the field. So.
What do they call that, the green light program?
It's just a full inspection of everything.
Yeah. And, yeah, they call it ready to run now. It used to be green light.
Okay.
And they call it ready to run. But
gotcha.
Get it green lighted.
Yeah, and they got 21 dealerships, so
yeah.
Pick one. Whichever one you're closest to. And but I appreciate you guys coming in. Good to meet you, Cody. Justin's always a pleasure to see you.
Good to see you.
And
good
I'm not even going to brag on what you're driving out in the parking lot. Because, hey, if you guys are thinking about becoming a tech, man, I know Justin didn't go through the program. He went through the on-the-job training kind of one. But if he's doing well for not being a tech, imagine if you was a tech, you could be driving out here in his parking lot. But that's such a cool ride.
Thank you.
I thought it was brand new, but it's a 1999, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's nice. It's a Corvette. All right, I can't. He's driving a Corvette, but it's a 1999, and him and his dad just went on a road trip in it? Is that
yes,
right?
Sir. Yeah, we drove it out to California to see my oldest son out there.
Oh, cool. Anyway, it's a cool ride. So I thought he was rich at first, and then he told me it was a 99. So anyway, he got a good deal on it and good a mechanic because he is. He probably fixed it up. So it's one of those home projects. Well, guys, thanks a lot for coming in.
Yep. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks for having us.
All right. See you guys later. I've been talking to Justin and Cody from Western Equipment. Cody went through the tech program that Western Equipment offers. If you guys know of anybody that's interested in doing that, you can get online at, what was that again?
West-equip.com. Yeah,
West-equip.com, or just call Clinton over there at John Deere or any of the dealers, and they'll get you in the right way at Western Equipment. So, all right, well, I'll be back with your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast right after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. and we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nino, Woodward Livestock Auction for sale this Thursday, March 17th. 3,000 cattle will start the auction at 8 a.m. Premier, get 70 heifers, 5 to 650. Elk City, 39 steers, nevers, 5 to 6. Woodward, 50 steers, 5 to 6. Fairview, 20 steers, nevers, 5 to 6. Woodward got 59 steers, never 7 to 8. Tennessee, 70 steers at 8. Garrett, 87 steers, never 6 to 7. Cordell, we got 91 mixed cattle, 6 to 750. May, 110 steers, 8 to 9. Shattuck, 60 steers, never 6 to 7. Waco, Texas, 99 heifers, 6 to 7. Kiwanis, Texas, 61 steers, never 6 to 7. Kingfisher, 85 steers at 8. Weatherford, 45 heifers at 7. Mutual, 74 heifers, 6 to 8. Those heifers are black, make excellent replacements. Two cuts of those, very gentle, very nice. Kingfisher, 100 steers, never 7.5, and Waco, Texas, 28 heifers at 6. And another nice set from Kansas, 46 Red Angus heifers, 7.5, mostly out of purebred stock or registered stock. Give us a call. Some of you've got them cattle a little bit wild. Do yourself a favor. Sell those, buy a very nice, gentle set, make you a lot of money in the long run. Again, expecting 3,000 cattle. We will start the auction, 8 a.m. sharp. Killing cows and bulls, a lot higher again this week. Cows topped at 96. Bull stopped at 123.50. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. Again, thank you, Cody and Justin from Western Equipment over at Clinton for coming in. And that was a great story from Cody, how he got into the tech program at the Western offers. And it's a great deal. Those kids, it would just... I was thinking about those kids from Kelton, Texas out there talking about how good they were doing in their mechanic deal and all that stuff. And Cody's living proof. What happens if that's what you want to be, a mechanic? That's what you can get done. Well, hot news, breaking news from Oklahoma City at the OIE. Lexi Varnell just won her class in the hemp division and the Barras up there, and is going to be going in here shortly and showing for champion. And if it happens before the show's over, I'll let you guys know. But congratulations to Miss Varnell from Sayre, Oklahoma. I bet her mom and dad are just jumping up and down with joy. You know, Cody's dry as a empty bottle of water, but he can get excited when he needs to. But anyway, here's the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Today, 81, 72. Right now, it's climbing. Winds are south-southwest, 20 miles an hour. Gusting up to 28, 30 miles an hour. Tonight, windy still, not quite as windy as today. 40% chance of showers tomorrow. 40% chance of showers tomorrow night with a 66 high tomorrow. Friday, breezy and 61 with the winds out of the north once that front route moves through. Saturday, mostly sunny, beautiful, 71 degrees, south wind, 6 to 10 miles an hour. Sunday, breezy, 75. It's going to be kind of like today. But anyway, we are under a fire weather warning until 7 p.m. tonight. So take your trash to town. Don't be burning it in the barrel. That is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I want to go over some of the numbers from the Woodward sale yesterday. Jerry had the cow and bull sale up there. Breaker cows bringing up to 96.50 per hundredweight. Boner cows up to 94, or actually 95.50. Lean cows bringing up to 90.20, $91, somewhere in that range. Butcher bulls were bringing, they had looks like almost 30 head up there. They was bringing anywhere from 101 to 123.50. And so I asked Jerry this morning when he called in his report for recording why the butcher bulls and cows were so high, and he said it's usually not this way this time of the year. but a bunch of people must have culled their cattle earlier, and the packers are running out of hamburger meat. So it just still, the demand's been there for quite a while, the last couple of months. I mean, the prices are good. If anything, they're creeping up a few cents. Bred cows yesterday at Woodward, 2 to 4 year olds were bringing up to 1135. 5 to 8 year old bred cows was bringing anywhere from 1,000 to 1135. Cow calf pairs with 150 pound or less weight calves on them were bringing anywhere from 1125 to 1585. Mid range about 1350 on those, and then the cow calf pairs with 150 to 300 pound calves on them were bringing 1560, 1350, and they were all 5 to 8 year old cows. So the cow market and the bull market, butcher or with the breads, is still looking pretty good. So Hobart's having their sale as we speak right now. I'll have the results from them on my ag update in the morning at 7 a.m. and then again at 10 right before Tradio plays, and then tomorrow's show at noon. Tomorrow is Thursday. I had to think what day it was. Woodward will be having their regular weekly calf sale. Friday, Western Oklahoma. Friday's Elk City. Monday is Western Oklahoma. And Hollis has theirs on Saturday way down there in Harmon County. So, anyway, there's plenty of sales to go to. There was 3,800 head at Western Oklahoma Monday, and they're expecting 3,000 to 4,000 head tomorrow in Woodward. I don't know what Brandon's expecting in Elk City Friday, but anyway, a lot of cattle moving into the sale barn arenas, so we got that going on. Well, I have this deal here, and it just follows with what I've been telling you guys all along about buying local and having it processed local. Consumers provided with labeling information on beef patties believe the beef labeled as locally sourced was much better in terms of tenderness, juiciness, flavor, texture, and overall liking. And when consumers were told the ground beef was grass-fed and locally produced, it was rated even higher. Sounds like they talked to my wife. They didn't talk to me. But anyway, it was all a little trick for the sake of research. In reality, all the ground beef, 80% lean and 20% fat, came from the same production lot and today. And it was bought in chunks prior to being made into patties. Each chunk went randomly to a consumer panel as patties. Those patties were randomly assigned different label terms, including all natural, animal raised with antibiotics, animal raised without added hormones, and fresh, never frozen, grass-fed, locally sourced, and organic. Customers were all asked to evaluate the patties they tasted for tenderness, juiciness, flavor, and texture on a 0 to 100 scale. They also rated the patties as acceptable or unacceptable for each trait. The consumers were given labeling information that had been created for each patty prior to the tasting the sample. Some interesting findings showed the following. When evaluating flavor, samples labeled as grass-fed beef had a larger increase in the ratings than samples labeled as WA, WH, or even premium quality. Adding production claims that consumers recognized improved palatability is perceived by the customer. Customers rated grass-fed, organic, and AN as similar for the flavor and liking and purchasing intent. Well, this sounds like this deal that they did was a bunch of crap anyway, tricked people into doing that just because of what it said on the labeling. I guarantee you, you get some people around here that's been used to eating the beef that was locally raised, or they've ate locally raised beef around here, and those, they won't be fooled by the labels. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there because they trick consumers by just, but it just shows you what's happening on the internet and on the news. People listen and watch what they want, watch on the internet and on the TV, and they fall for it. Well, about out of time. Tomorrow I'll talk about bull castration. Anyway, it's report put out by OSU. When is the right time to castrate bulls? I'll tell you tomorrow. And we got a special guest coming in here from Matt Myers. He'll be on here and talking about all kinds of stuff, EBDs, the whole nine yards, buying bulls. It's still got time to buy bulls if you hadn't. If you ain't got your bulls tested, you need to get those tested. And we got all kinds of people in our area that have bulls for sale that do a really good job of raising bulls. Davis, Hudson, Price, B&L. Lori will be in here Friday to talk about her Red Angus bulls. So we got all kinds of good stuff for the rest of the week. You guys have a great day, and God bless. You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It's loaded with action and suspense.
This is KECO, Elk City.